In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We'll finish up with John 6. Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." And many of his disciples left him. Many of his disciples, people that had left homes and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and lands, they left him because they didn't have any idea what he was talking about. And then Jesus doesn't call them back. Jesus doesn't call them back. You know, if he didn't mean what he said and said what he meant, I tell you that he wouldn't be Jesus. Jesus didn't call them back. He goes to Peter and says, "And will you too leave, 12? Will you too leave?" Peter said, "To whom shall we go? You alone have the words of everlasting life, and we have come to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We look at chapter 15 in St. Luke's Gospel. It is all about the lost being found. And the first couple of sentences tells you exactly who the audience of Jesus was. "Then they drew near unto Jesus, publicans and sinners, to hear him." Publicans and sinners to hear Jesus. Jesus is talking to people that are forsaken by the crowds. Publicans, tax collectors, and sinners. This is his audience. And Jesus has come to seek and save that which was lost. Are you lost today? I know someone that wants to find you. Publicans and sinners. Jesus was hated because he hung around with the wrong kind of people. The needy, the broken, the publicans, the sinners, the people that wouldn't give you a good name, you know. He wasn't into, you know, having the beautiful people around him. It was the Mary Magdalene whom he cast out 7 demons. It was the woman at the well who had 5 husbands. You see, Jesus associated with people that the church will not associate with today. You know, Jesus would be at the red district line today after the people who had been sexually active. Jesus is out to seek and save the lost. "Then drew near unto Jesus all publicans and sinners to hear him." To hear him. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them." Oh, yes. You don't get complaints from the world. You get complaints from the Pharisees and the scribes, from the church. That here you are, trying to seek and save that which is lost, and they're saying, "Look at the crowd that Jesus hangs around with. He hangs around with prostitutes, sinners, tax collectors, all the people that are loathed." Well, I tell you, Jesus knew that he was out to seek and save that which was lost. "And so Jesus spoke a parable unto them," unto the sinners, unto the publicans, unto the people that were lost. And this is what he said. "There was a man having 100 sheep. If the man lose one, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it?" He's talking to the lost. They're associating themselves with the lost sheep. Jesus is talking to the lost. "I am out to seek and save the sheep that is lost." Who happens to be the people listening? Sinners and tax collectors. Jesus is out to seek and save that one sheep. Oh, how he yearns for the one sheep that is lost. How he yearns for the sheep that has gone astray, how he yearns for the people who have backslidden. Yes, Jesus is after the one sheep. What man among you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? Oh, their eyes now are opening wide. Their eyes are opening wide. He's talking about me. How many times have people said to me, your homily was just talking about me? I wasn't talking about them at all. But the Holy Spirit had them experience that what I was saying was just for them. He's talking about me. And this is what the sinners and the tax collectors are saying. He's talking about me. And when he finds the lost sheep, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Oh, yes. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. Oh, he goes home and has a party. He goes home and has a rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep. Oh, and the eyes of the sinners and the tax collectors are opened wide, and their hearts are beating heavy, and they're thinking, maybe I can be found. Maybe I can be found. Maybe I'm not so lost that I can't be found. If the lost sheep could be found, maybe I could be found. Oh, yes, that's what they're thinking. But what does the man do? When the lost sheep is returned, he has a big party. He invites his neighbors. They start singing. They start dancing. Because rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner who repents, more than over 99 people who have no need of repentance. Well, you know what? Jesus is saying that tongue in cheek because everyone has need of repentance. Oh, there's going to be joy in heaven over the one that is found, over the lost sheep. There's going to be magnificent joy. The angels are going to jump up and down, sing and dance. The saints are going to be hallelujah, another one for the kingdom, another lost one who was found. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Oh, yes, it's all about being found. The best thing about being lost is being found. And Jesus found that one that was listening, that sinner that was listening, and saying, oh, I tell you, if you repent, the angels are going to be jumping up and down. The saints are going to be rejoicing. There's going to be more joy in heaven over the one person that repents. And he's talking to sinners and tax collectors. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the publicans are saying, ah, oh, look at this. Look who he's talking to. Look who he's hanging around with. It's the church, you know, the church of today. The church of today. How often does the church go into the red light district? Yeah, not us. How often does the church go and feed the poor? We've been doing it for 9 years, I believe, because we love Jesus. We love Jesus. I tell you, some of those people out in the street have more faith than I have. You know why? They have to depend upon God to keep them through the day. They have to depend upon God to keep them through the night. Oh, yes. And how grateful they are. How grateful they are to us. And you know what? We don't deserve gratitude. We are just doing what we are supposed to be doing. You know, we're not doing what shouldn't be done. We're doing what we are supposed to be doing, feeding the poor. And some of them are broken. No, all of them are broken, like all of you are broken, and I am broken. And we are in need of Jesus coming to look for us, and we need him to put us on his shoulders, and we need to feel his love. Oh, yes, I'm telling you, this is reality. This is reality. And over one lost sinner that repents, there is more joy in heaven than over 99 persons who have no need of repentance. I tell you that the tax collectors and the publicans realized they were sinners. But those Pharisees and scribes that murmured, They think that they are the cat's meow. They think that God owes them something. They think that they're scot-free, that they have no sin. Oh, yeah, because they're involved in the church of the day, the church of the day. I told you the story before about this beautiful priest that was assigned to Jerusalem. He was the Bishop of Jerusalem. I think his name was Riah, Bishop Riah. And when he got to Jerusalem, he started to sell the lands that the church owned and give it to the people that were Christians and give the money to them because they had no jobs. And so the pillars of the church said, "What right do you have to sell the property of the church that belongs to us?" And Bishop Riah says, "I have the right given to me by Jesus." And you want to know what those pillars of the church said? "We spit on the poor." Do you know what the bishop said? "If you spit on the poor, Jesus Christ spits on you." Oh, yes. He was a wise man. He was a holy man. He realized that his flock was in need, and he had extra lands that he sold and gave it to them. Oh, yes, I tell you, if you spit on the poor, Jesus Christ spits on you. There is only one Jesus who became poor so that we would become rich, that he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Oh, and he was naked, and still more, you know, he offered himself as the sacrifice for sins, yes. And he obtained for God every sinner under the sun. No sinner needs to go to hell because of the great love of Jesus Christ on the cross. No sinner needs to go to hell because Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. If you go to hell, it's because you do not accept the love of God. You do not accept the power of the cross. You do not accept the washing with the blood. It's for you. Jesus came to save you, the seek and save the lost. And we all have need of repentance. Yes, Lord, I need to repent for not trusting you 100%. I need to repent because I need to repent. And everyone that hears me needs to repent. And there's more joy over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous people. And the Bible says, "No one is righteous, not one, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Now Jesus talks another story about something being lost. Either what woman having 10 silver pieces, if she lose one of the silver pieces, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece, the silver piece, which I had lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is more joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. I remember a woman at St. Adelaide's that lost her diamond ring. And I started to pray with her, and I saw the ring, and it was on the shelf near the sink. And I said, "Go look at the shelf near the sink and see if your diamond ring is there." Well, it was, and she was so happy. She was so happy. She got her diamond ring back. Yeah, she was so happy. She was elated. She came back and said, "How did you know, Father Tom?" "I didn't know. God showed me." "I didn't know. How would I know? I don't know where. When I lose something, I can barely find it. I have to ask Jesus and St. Anthony to help me find what I lose." But I knew that day that that diamond ring was on the shelf near the sink. Yeah. But the whole thing is, the woman lost one of the silver coins, which was worth a lot of money. And so what does she do? She gets up and she lights the candle and she sweeps the house out. She's in search of that which is lost, even as Jesus is in search of these lost people, sinners and publicans. And when she finds it, she rejoices and asks her neighbors, "Rejoice with me." Not only I don't want to rejoice, I want you to rejoice with me. "For I have found my lost coin, my lost silver coin. Likewise, I say unto you, there is more joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And you know, I took those two stories and it said, lost sheep, few shepherds to seek them out. Lost coins, few lookers, few people looking for the lost. When I was in Arizona just a couple of weeks ago, Priscilla's mother gave me $100 for radio, and she said, this is for the lost. Preach to the lost. This is for the lost so that Jesus would find them. Priscilla's mother is 86 years old. And there she writes me out a check. You know, her eyes are not the best, and she has these big checks, and she writes out this $100 check. Go to seek and save that which was lost. And you know, this broadcast is being paid in part by Priscilla's mother. That's right. Her name is Donna. And Donna knows what it is to be lost because Jesus found her. And you go, Father Tom, and seek and save that which was lost. So, lost sheep, few shepherds to go seek them. Lost coins, few lookers to go find them. Lost sons now, few fathers who are looking for their son. We'll take the prodigal son now. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. In other words, give me what going to happen when you die. I want it while you're living. And he divided it among them, his living. And not many days later, after the young man gathered all together and took his journey into the far country, there he wasted the money with riotous living. Oh, yes. There he goes with wine, women, and song. Let me tell you, you are going to fall flat on your face if you take that which is yours and throw it away. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Sometimes want, when we feel being in want, is the best thing in the world because we have to seek Jesus Christ. What do you want? I want peace. Oh, then it only comes through the blood of the Lamb. I want health. It only comes through the blood of the Lamb. Sometimes when we feel want, it causes us to jump into the arms of Jesus. So, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. This is a Jewish man. The pig is unclean. He's in the middle of the slop. He's in the middle of the slop. And I tell you, when you're in the middle of the slop, you come to realize, oh, maybe Daddy's going to take me home. But you see, the pigsty has to have its work in us until we turn to the Lord and we say, maybe it's time to turn back to Father. Maybe Father will accept me as one of his slaves. I smell like the pigs. Oh, I remember on Route 93, many years ago, we would drive down 93 with my dad, and there was a pig farm, and you could smell it a mile away. It was absolutely gross. It was absolutely gross. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine, to feed the pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no man gave him anything to eat. And when he came to himself, let me just tell you this, he came to himself because the pigsty served its purpose. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants do my father have? And they have bread enough, and they have extra bread to spare. while I perish and I go hungry. And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Oh, the pigsty that accomplishes its work in the sun. He's going back home to Father, and he's going with a list. I have sinned against you and against God. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired servants. Make me a slave. I'd be happy being a slave. At least I'll have bread to eat. At least I'll have food. I'll have some onions. I'll have some oil. I'll have what I need. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father is looking for the son. The father is looking for the son. I'm telling you, it was the father's love that drew the son back. Oh, yes, it was not only the pigsty, but the father's love. Oh, he never, ever cut himself off from his youngest son. He was waiting for the son to come back. He was looking, but he was not going after him. He had to have the son realize what he forsake. Same with you. God is looking, Jesus is looking, but you need to say, I'm returning to the Father. I'm returning to Jesus. I'm going to confession. It is time. It is time. I'm sick of feeding the pigs. I'm sick of having no one to help me. I'm sick of being an outcast. Oh, yes, I'm sick. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am not worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, oh, quick, bring him the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. He didn't even have time to confess his sins. The father kissed them away. He didn't have time to confess his sins. I spent all your money on wine, women, and song. No, he didn't even have time to confess his sins. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. That's authority. And shoes on his feet. And you know what? Shoes on his feet means that the son is free to walk away again if he wants to. Isn't that something? Shoes on his feet and a ring in his hand and a new cloak. And bring close to me the fatted calf, the veal, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life. He was lost and is found. And they began to rejoice and make merry. They are making merry. Why? Because the son is found. Because the son is found. Now listen, the next part to the religious people, including myself. Now his elder brother was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Why all this music? Why all this dancing? And he said unto the elder brother, your younger brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, the veal, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now the eldest son was angry and would not go in. Therefore again the father comes out and entreats him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, for these many years do I serve you without having transgressed against you. I at any time have committed any sin against the commandment, and yet you never gave me even a goat or a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, you know, you can hear him saying it, this son of yours comes back, he has devoured thy living with harlots, and as you killed the fatted calf, you killed the veal. And the father said unto him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was necessary that we should make merry and be glad, for this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and now is found. Let me tell you, my friends, you don't need to be lost because we have a risen Savior who has shed his blood for you. You don't need to be lost because we have a Father who called you back. You don't need to be lost because you had 9 abortions, because God wants to forgive you and kiss away your sins and kiss away your wounds and kiss away your guilt and kiss away the scorn you have for yourself. Oh, we come unto you, Heavenly Father. We come unto you because you are our Daddy. And we ask that the blood of Jesus would cover us and would take away all the miserable sin. Father, 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 we have sinned against you and against heaven. And we ask for mercy. Give us your mercy, we pray. Mercy that comes from heaven. Mercy that seeks and saves the lost. Mercy that always is the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance. Oh, Father, we have been foolish. We have squandered your life. Now we come back and we say, Father, forgive us. Father, forgive us. And the Father says, oh, go get a beautiful cloak and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life, lost and is found. Hallelujah. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.